Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of All Access Football Radio with your host, Rick Saratella here. We've got a very special guest for you, and his name, Lee Suggs, the coach for Oberlin College, joins us today. How are you, Lee?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
We're doing excellent here at the All Access Football Show. Thanks for taking some time out of your schedule here, and we're going to cover all grounds, including your playing career, but first, let's talk about this transition into the coaching world of college football. Tell us a little bit how you got started. I think you're in your second season now, entering as a coach over at Oberlin College.
I have a friend that works here at Oberlin. He's a trainer, and I know him from my days up in Cleveland. And you know, I was just talking to him one day, and I asked him about the football program up here and things like that, and asked him to get me in contact with the head coach, Coach Ramsey, and I got in contact with him, and after that, you know, it was all history.
That's head coach Jeff Ramsey there at Oberlin College. We're talking to Lee Suggs, the quarterback coach for D3 Oberlin College. But I believe you started off as an assistant, and then last year, Lee, you spent some time as running back coach, and the running back there last season, R.V. Carroll, actually went on to set the school's all-time rushing and scoring record, so you kind of took him under your wing there last season.
Yeah, my first year I was doing the running back, and you know, I was blessed with a good running back, you know, R.V. He'd already put in all the work, you know, for those records before I got here. You know, I just happened to be his coach when he broke them, you know, but you know, I was just thankful for the opportunity, you know, to get started in my career. And, you know, it was an extra plus to have a great player such as RV, you know, to help me ease into the transition.
Well, I'm sure someone of your caliber, having a resume and the accomplishments that you have going your career, sure doesn't hurt either. Talk a little bit about, you know, how you choose to motivate. I know certain guys, you have to make a judgment call on how, when, and where to push buttons. Explain a little bit about how you motivate players.
Well, you know, I just try to give them all the encouragement, you know, that you can. You know, I try not to, you know, get down on them because I know they're out there trying their hardest. You know, they just, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work for them. So I just try to, you know, give them encouragement, give them words here and there, you know, just to, you know, to keep them going, you know, just to let them know that, you know, I appreciate their work and I appreciate that they're trying to do what we're asking them to do. And, you know, every now and then, you know, I have to raise my voice, you know. I'm not really that type of coach, you know, who yells and hollers and things like that. And unless I need to.
Well, let's talk about some of the head coaches that you played for and, you know, some big names here, and we'll take them one at a time. I mean, you know, first off, how has Jeff Ramsey helped you with the transition, and what kind of influence has he had so far?
You know, Coach Ramsey, you know, he's been coaching for a long time, and, you know, he probably knows more about football than I'll ever know. You know, he knows offense, defense, special teams. He knows every position. He knows everything about it. And, you know, just being able to sit in meetings with him and just listen to him coach, you know, I've been able to absorb a lot of things that I never knew about football. And, you know, he's really helped my knowledge, you know, grow a whole lot.
He's forgotten more football than you know, they like to say sometimes. Now, you've also played with some pretty good coaches throughout your playing career, and we're going to kind of go through them. But before we do, you know, you were a pretty good high school player, and, you know, leading up to the show, I read that you're going to actually be honored September 3rd at William Fleming High School.
Right,
and
yeah.
It says here you rushed for 2,918 yards and 30 touchdowns during your senior season. Is that true?
No, it was actually 2,972.
Oh, I mean, I can imagine you can't play more than 10 or 11 games in a high school football schedule. So you were out there rushing for like 300 yards a game.
Now, we that year we went to the state, so we played 14 games. So
okay.
I had a few more games in there. But, yeah, I had two 300-yard games, and my best one was 375 and three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
I had that against K-Spring one night. That was a good night.
And that's under head coach George Miller there over at William Fleming High School, who is still there, I believe, and they're going to be honoring you on September 3rd. How has Coach Miller rubbed off on you as far as, you know, your coaching career goes today at Oberlin?
You know, Coach Miller was, you know, the first real head coach that I ever had, you know. And he came in my sophomore year. And our freshman year, we went 1-9. You know, we were just out of shape, undisciplined, just pretty much a terrible team. And then when Coach Miller took over, he taught me and he taught the whole team, really, on how to work and what you needed to do to become champions. And, you know, by my senior year, we were in the state championship game. You know, he just taught us a lot about work and what it took to be good at everything, not just football.
Talking to Lee Suggs, coach at Oberlin College, going into his second season there as the quarterback's coach. Then, Lee, you moved on to Virginia Tech, the next level of play, and under Coach Frank Beamer there with the Hokies. Why don't you talk a little bit about how you selected Virginia Tech?
Well, it was, you know, it came down to the night before signing day. And you know, it was between UVA, Wake Forest, and Virginia Tech. And, you know, I guess I was really leaning towards Wake Forest, really. And, you know, a friend called me and, you know, they said a few words that, you know, that really stuck with me, you know, just about playing in my own backyard, because Virginia Tech is about 40 minutes from my house. You know, and just staying around, you know, in the area, and, you know, people, my fans that have watched me play since I was young can continue to watch me up in college, and, you know, just being a hometown hero, you know, that kind of stuck with me, and that helped in my decision, you know, just staying around close to home, and, you know, just playing for the hometown people.
And talk a little bit about, we're talking to Lee Suggs here, the Oberlin quarterbacks coach. We're talking about his Virginia Tech Hokie career legendary. And talk for a second about playing for a legendary head coach in Frank Beamer.
I mean, yeah, Coach Beamer was a lot of fun to play with, man. You know, he had everything down pat, you know, especially his special teams. You know, he starts us out young on special teams, man, and that gets us into the game and gives us something to work forward, you know, forward to on Saturdays and not just sitting on the sideline and watching. And just being able to do that, being able to prepare for that one role helped us all, you know, when we got older, helped us prepare for the bigger role, you know, as a starting role. But, you know, Coach Beamer, you know, he gave us all everything we needed to be a good team, you know, as far as, you know, the training table and Coach Gentry in the weight room and, you know, just our position coaches, you know, they gave us everything we needed, you know, to be good. And it paid off, as you can see.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because 1998, you guys redshirted, you went 9-3, beat Alabama in the Independence Bowl in 1999. In limited playing time, you guys go 11-1, lose out to Florida State in the Sugar Bowl. But then 2000, you bust onto the scene. You rush for a single-season record, 28 touchdowns. You know, people got you going crazy, T.D. Lee, as they were calling you back then, and you went on to eventually break the all-time rushing touchdown record in school history, which we'll talk more about in a second, but just talk about that year, that magical 2000 season that you had.
You know, I was blessed with a good O-line, you know. All those guys up in front of me, they were probably fifth-year seniors, I believe, if I remember right, you know, so I had a lot of hogs up in front of me, and they opened up the holes, and it was just a matter of getting through it and, you know, breaking tackles and scoring, you know, so, you know, I attribute that to my O-line, you know, and my fullback, Jared Ferguson, and they did a great job of clearing up holes and making it easy on me.
Now, you guys, so 11-1 again, you beat Clemson in the Gator Bowl. And then can you win Big East Offensive Player of the Year? And then 2001 comes and you suffer a setback in the season opener against UConn and blow out your knee. The team goes 8-4, kind of dip. And then you come back, it seems just as strong as in 2002. We'll talk about that in a second, but just talk about the whole rehab process and dealing with adversity.
Yeah, that was a tough year, you know. had a, especially coming off of 2000, you know, we had a good year. You know, we had high expectations for 2001. And, you know, it was the third quarter, you know, we had the game in hand. And, you know, I just made it, made one move, and I blew my knee out. And it just, all that work, you know, that we had put in over the summer, over the last 3 years, really, was just gone, man. And it was just one of the toughest points I had faced in my life, you know. And then, you know, rehab, that was a good 6 months. And that wasn't any easier, you know. But, you know, I had a good support group. You know, I guess being home, being close to home helped me out. You know, my parents were there a lot. And I had friends there a lot, you know, to help me get through this point. And, you know, I just kept driving and kept working, you know, because I knew that, you know, September 1st would come around sooner or later. And I had to be ready. And so I just had to try to do everything that I could to get there.
And then 2002 rolled around, and you were ready, and Coach Beamer actually named team captain. You paired there with Kevin Jones in the backfield, and you guys win 10 ball games, and you are named first-team All-Big East selection again for the second time. And I, as I mentioned earlier, you set the all-time school record with 53 touchdowns. And there's a running back over there now, Lee, by the name of Ryan Williams. I don't know if you've been keeping tabs on him, but I think he's chasing down your record. Have you been paying attention at all?
Yeah, I can't help but to pay attention. Yeah, I don't know what number. He's at 25, maybe 26, 27. Yeah, he's up there somewhere. But, you know, they have Darren Evans coming back, you know, so they're gonna have to split time. So that should cut down on some of the touchdowns. So it should slow down a little bit. Still slowing down a little bit, but, you know, they're both great backs, man. So, you know, I just wish them all the luck, but, you know, hope they don't break it.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to keep up the good name and expectations of legendary Virginia Tech Hokie running backs. Now, let's move on to your NFL career. Talk a little bit about your preparation going into the draft. You were the 115th overall selection, fourth round in 2003. What were the kind of expectations back then? I know it was only 7 years ago, but if you look at the way the NFL draft has evolved since then alone, you have two networks covering it. There's big media coverage. It wasn't quite the fiasco back then. What was it like leading up to the draft? What was the interaction like with your agent? What kind of vibe were you guys getting?
You know, at first we were getting a pretty good vibe. You know, I went out to San Diego for a month or two and was working out there and, you know, just trying to prepare and get in the best shape that I could, you know, for the combine and pro days and things like that. And, you know, at first we were getting a pretty good vibe, you know, but at the combine they put you through so many tests. And, you know, I found out I had a shoulder problem, you know, at one of those tests. So, you know, before that I was looking at probably early second, late second round, but once they found that I had a problem with my shoulder, that's when I dropped to the second day.
And now, you know, we always hear these stories about the combine when they get you in these rooms and they ask you all kinds of questions. Was there anything that sticks with you to this day that was kind of like out of the ordinary?
You know, not really with the questions. I remember on the Steelers, they had a psychiatrist in there with them. You know, you have meeting times with teams that select you at night for about 15 minutes. You know, everybody's setup is a little different. And the Steelers, you know, they were the only one. They had a psychiatrist in there, I guess, evaluating everything that you said and everything that you did. So I thought that was a little weird. I guess they're really trying to pick your brain and pick up little cues that regular people wouldn't be able to pick up.
Now, before we get into the Cleveland Browns, then I just want to ask you about the selection of an agent, because we have so many players, so many college players come on after the season, leading up to the draft, and there's always that gray area in between where they're making their agent selection. So take us through that process a little bit and how that went for you.
Well, you know, of course you have a lot of people calling and you know, trying to get some, but I just basically dwindled my list down and sat down with my parents, and we had meetings with all the guys. And then basically we just, you know, evaluated each one, you know, their pros and cons, and just made a decision off of that. Basically like any business decision or any hiring situation, you know, you have to evaluate all your suitors and make the best choice.
And did it ever get crazy, like during the season, winding up your final year at Virginia Tech? Was there any distraction there? Did they ever try to contact you or anything like that? Or did you just block all that out on football? Because I know a lot of times college kids can get distracted. And, you know, that's a pretty big issue nowadays.
Yeah, you know, they were calling, you know. If I was a number on my phone that I didn't recognize, I didn't pick up. And, you know, I know a few times some, you know, odd people would come by my apartment and things like that to come and talk. But other than that, no, I wasn't too big of a distraction. You know, I could just pretty much block it out or ignore it. You know, they weren't that aggressive that I couldn't ignore it or couldn't get away from it.
Talking to Lee Suggs here, the Oberlin coach, going into year two coaching at Oberlin Division III College, and talking here, going through his career in 2003, selected by the Cleveland Browns, battled some injuries, I believe, that first year, and then 2004, splitting time with Willie Green, finally get an opportunity there down the stretch. It looks like you're really coming into your own there, the final three games of the 2004 season. I mean, you were taking off. You picked out the year 21 for 105 against San Diego, 38 for 143 at Miami, 26 for 131 at Houston, and I think you finished up the year with 744 rushing yards and just four starts. Take us to that year for you, probably your best season that.
Yeah, you know, that was a good year. It started out really well in the preseason, you know, but you know, like every other year, I was battling something, it seemed like, the whole year. And, you know, I just really couldn't get on track. You know, I think I may have played in 10 games, and you said with the four starts. And, you know, showed flashes here and there, but, you know, just it was always something. You know, I'd get on a roll, and then something else would happen. You know, so it started out with a lot of promise, and as the year went on, just flashes here and there, but, you know, I just couldn't do what I wanted to do because I was always hampered by something.
And let's be honest, we're talking to Suggs here, the former Cleveland Brown, Virginia Tech Hokie, and current Oberlin coach. I mean, let's be honest, Cleveland's never really had any kind of stability while you were there. You came in during the Butch Davis regime. He was canned. They put Terry Rubisky, I think, during the middle of the season to finish out the year. And then you were there for the beginning of the Romeo Crennel era, which, you know, now didn't exactly work out either. So, you know, 2005, not only from a team standpoint, but from a personal standpoint, you guys suffered setbacks. And then 2006, the Browns attempt to trade you to the New York Jets, and that's when you find out that you failed a physical. And eventually you wind up with the Dolphins and play very quickly for Nick Saban. Just talk about, you know, that whole process. Take us through that.
Yeah, that whole trade deal. I still don't know why I actually failed that physical. I think it was probably because of my knees and things like that, just wear and tear on it, you know. And probably if you take a MRI of 100 running backs in the NFL, they all probably have symptoms of what I had, you know. So, you know, that's that whole situation was just weird, and you probably won't see too many other situations like it, you know. But, you know, I came back to Cleveland and eventually got picked up by Miami, and I was just happy that, you know, I had a home, you know. And going down there, you know, leaving Cleveland, going to Miami is not a bad thing at all, you know, going out in the sunshine and things like that. And, you know, and when we started out, we had high expectations for that year. You know, but Dante, you know, his knees were still a little banged up, and things didn't really work out like we had all planned. You know, so there it is.
Now I have to ask you, what kind of relationship did you have with Nick Saban there? With such a brief stint, I kind of feel like he didn't really give you a fair shake in Miami. What was the relationship there? Did you get to know Nick at all, or was it just so brief that you didn't really get to know him too well?
Well. I got to know him well enough. I don't think any player really got to know him personally, you know. But
yeah.
You know, I was there long enough. You know, I know his style. I know how he coaches, and I know he likes to get up in people's faces. You know, and He tells you what he thinks, tells you what's on his mind, and he won't censor it either, you know. And so I seen him do that to everybody. You know, he doesn't pull any punches, but you know that doesn't always work with everybody, especially with grown men. You know, grown men can't take, you know, a little guy yelling in their face, you know, all the time.
Well, you know, that leads me into the next question that I must ask, because you did play for two highly successful college coaches, Butch Davis and Nick Saban. You played for them in the NFL, and a lot of people subscribe to the theory that, you know, successful college coaches don't really make good pro coaches. Are you a believer in that philosophy, or do you think that a good college coach can succeed at the next level?
Well, you know, I'm not going to make a blanket statement like no college coach can come up to the NFL, because that's not true. It just depends on your coaching style and your relationship with the players. You know, you have to build – the players have to respect you, first of all, and have to respect what you're doing. And you have to – I believe the coach has to respect them in turn. You know, you can't just treat them like a bunch of kids. Those are grown men out there, and you have to treat them as such.
Talking to Lee Suggs, the Oberlin quarterback's coach, going into his second season there in Oberlin College. And Cleveland started off as running back's coach, moving his way up the ranks. Now, Lee, is head coaching something that you have back of your mind?
Yeah, one day down the line. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, my goal. You know, but for now, I'm just trying to sit back and try to learn as much football on either side that I can. And, you know, hopefully one day I can use it to my advantage. But, you know, I think every coach one day wants to assume that role.
All in the competitive juices. And the one last question I want to ask you before we get to our final segment, we'll call it 2-Minute Drill, a little lighter side of things. But before we do, you know, Lee, somebody that did go on to the pros and did struggle with some injuries, did the issue of steroids or HGH, performance enhancers, did that ever come across? Did that ever arise inside the locker room?
Nah, man. Nah, I never heard anything, even anything close to that. You know, I've never seen it in my life, you know, so it wasn't even an option. It wasn't even a thought.
Do you think it's something that's an issue in today's NFL, or?
You know, they test you so much. You know, it's a random test every week. You know, I'm sure some guys try to get around it and beat it, but it would be too stressful to try to take the stuff and try to beat the test and worry about if you're getting tested. You know, it's just too much on top of all the pressure that you're already under. So, you know, I'm sure some guys try it, but the majority, nah, I doubt it. They don't. It's just too much to lose, and you know, it's too much pressure to try to hide it.
And just very quickly, I know, because it's also an issue with the new collective bargaining agreements coming up, and since you've now been removed from the game for about 4 seasons, do you think the NFL is doing enough for the, you know, retired players and their former players, and especially someone like yourself? You know, the average NFL player is only 3.5 seasons. Sometimes guys need hip replacements. We see the stories chronicled on TV all the time. Do you think, in your opinion, is the NFL doing enough for the retired players?
Well, as far as I can tell, you know, yeah. You know, like you said, I haven't been out for that long. We'll see in about 10 to 15 years when, you know, I need a knee replacement or something like that, how it goes. But, you know, as far as now, yeah, they're doing fine. You know, I still have dental and health and all that covered. Things like that. So as far as I can tell, they're doing a good job. But ask me about 10, 15 years, and we'll see if that changes.
we'll do a recap show down the line. All right, Lee, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your schedule. Real quickly, we do something called the 2-Minute Drill on the lighter side of things. Just a couple quick-hitting questions. You ready to roll with that?
Let's go.
All right, what's currently on the Lee Suggs iPod rotation?
Jay-Z, of course, Lil Tupac, Drake, Lil Wayne, Eminem,
okay,
old Eminem.
There you go. How about one piece of technology you can't leave home without?
My laptop.
All right, and How about the best place to eat over there in Roanoke, Virginia?
Oh, man. My mom's house.
All right, and how about three dinner guests, either past or present? Who would they be?
Hold on, what'd you say? Three what?
Three dinner guests. If you could have any three dinner guests from the past or present, who would you have?
I have Roger Craig, Gabrielle Union, and Tony Dungy.
Very interesting. What does Suggs do in his spare time?
I do a lot of yard work, try to, you know, keep the yard nice, or go cycling or running or lifting weights. Try to stay active, try to stay outdoors. Try not to sit around and watch too much TV.
There you go. And two quick ones here before you leave. We're talking to Lee Suggs, the Oberlin coach. What do you hope that Oberlin players would say about Coach Suggs when you're not around?
He's a good guy. He helps me out in football or whatever I need. Knowledgeable, can get his point across, and helps us get ready for Saturday.
And finally, as we mentioned, September 3rd, you'll be inducted into the William Fleming Hall of Fame. What will be your message to the kids that day during your Hall of Fame induction speech?
My message is to not listen to all the people that tell you that you can't do something. Because if I listened to that, I wouldn't have gotten to the point that I got to in my career. You know, it's always going to be people telling you that you're not good enough, you're not fast enough, you're not this, you're not that. But you have to block all those people out and just keep doing you. Keep your head down. Keep plugging. Keep working. Keep working to your goal and make all those people wrong. Don't listen to the haters. There's plenty of them.
Well, that wraps up for another edition of the All Access Football Show with our special guest, Lee Suggs, quarterback coach at Oberlin College. Lee, once again, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We'll be keeping tabs on Oberlin, and hopefully maybe during the season or at the end of the year, we could check in, touch base, and you can fill us in how you guys are doing in your third year entering the coaching ring.
All right, well, thank you. Thanks for the time. Thanks for having me on, and talk to you later.